welcome to another episode of the Scarlet Nation podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. I'm Chris Acona, joined by Bobby Darin, as today we recap the Scarlet White spring game. Fans finally getting a chance to see some of what Rutgers will bring in 2024 on the field in a game-like setting. Quarterback battle top of mind, some other standouts from some young players who were really able to contribute. But that is sort of where things stand. And Bobby, you know, the big storyline coming into spring football was the quarterback battle and, you know, who would sort of distinguish themselves. Saw some flashes from both guys. Ethan Kaliakmanis with 10 of 17 for 147 yards, two touchdowns. Gavin Wimsett, 8 of 16 for 76 yards and a touchdown. Just what were your impressions of how the quarterback battle sort of played out today?
I mean, I thought you saw a lot of back and forth, and, you know, it should be pointed out that, you know, each guy wasn't really playing with a full arsenal of starters out there. A lot of the guys they were playing with were backups, but, you know, I thought Ethan threw the ball a little better than Gavin did, but, you know, you could see Gavin's escapability on one play and turn a broken pass play into a touchdown with his feet. I think that element is something you have to remember with his game. But, you know, I thought Kaliakmanis made some better throws, you know, some of those throws you should make. You saw him do it. But, you know, consistently they've been back and forth throughout spring practice, and Greg Schiano's not going to name a starter coming out of the spring, probably not going to name a starter until training camp. But I think you're seeing a very good competition between the two guys. They're both, thriving kind of off that competition. But today I really thought that Ethan was the better of the two.
Yeah, felt like he was a better passer, at least. And there was that one stretch in the second quarter where he really got into a rhythm. I think it was 5 completions in a row. Had a nice little rhythm going with Nassim Brantley, who ended up leading all receivers. 4 catches, 73 yards for him. We'll touch on that in a minute. But, you know, he really stood out in that regard. Gavin Wimsett really doing a good job on the rushing side of things. 5 carries, 64 yards, 37 was his longest of the day. And that I think is something that, you know, that's the tape that fans will have on both of them until training camp starts up in August. So I think that, you know, I think fans will have seen a little bit of a glimpse into what this quarterback battle is going to look like.
Yeah, and both do things, you know, they have their strengths and weaknesses, and they're different quarterbacks. And speaking to both of them after the spring game, you know, they said they're kind of working together to kind of pick each other's brains and add different elements to their game, which the other guy might have as a strength. So there is a lot of cohesiveness in that quarterback group. You're seeing them really embrace the competition. But, you know, when all is said and done, Chris, I could see scenarios where both those guys wind up playing this coming season. But it's going to be something that continues on as a competition. And that competition might spill over even into the season, Chris.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be top of mind in terms of what the Rutgers offense could look like next season. But I want to talk about some of the other contributors here. One guy, and Bobby, you had said this to me actually when we were in the press box together watching, but Ed Guerrier, 11 carries, 63 yards, has a similar build to Kyle Manungai, and that was a very Kyle Manungai-esque performance, just in the style of how he was running, the effectiveness. He had 4 carries of 10 plus yards. He's going to be, I saw some glimpses of what could be a really good running back down the line.
Yeah, and he really fits the offense in that, you know, he is that same mold of a Kyle Manungai. You see those tough yards up the gut. He's not a guy that's really going to shake you in the open field and have that elusive twitch, but he is a guy who's going to get that north-south game going, breaks tackles, is a strong runner. But I don't really expect to see a ton of him this year, barring injury, because you still have Kyle Manungai. You have a healthy Sam Brown. You have Jayshon Benjamin, who was a little dinged up in the spring, didn't play. But those are your top three. And then beyond that, you have Guerrier. So, you know, barring injury, I don't think you'll see too much of him, but I think you're seeing a glimpse of what to expect in the future. You mentioned Kyle Manungai-esque. He's a similar type of runner. And in this offense, that really works. I mean, it's evident last year that, you know, Manungai was the Big Ten leading rusher. So bring someone in who was type of sort of a clone, and you want to you should experience similar success. Now, I'm not saying Guerrier is going to lead the Big Ten in rushing, but, you know, you can see how kind of Greg Schiano is recruiting a certain type of running back to play in that offense.
And running the football was the strength of last year's offense for sure. One player who I think we could see a lot of next year is Kenny Fletcher. Two catches, 46 yards. The stat line doesn't necessarily pop out at you in terms of number of receptions, but when you saw him, you know, play a tight end, you wouldn't have known that he had converted to the position before this season. He looked very comfortable out there in that white passing offense, Bobby.
Really did. And, you know, Kenny Fletcher's a kid who has experience catching football, had over 70 catches as a high school player at Delran High School in South Jersey, came in with a ton of athleticism and really embraced the weight room this offseason and kind of gained the necessary weight and strength to play the tight end position. Now, how good of an inline blocker is he going to be? That remains to be seen, but Rutgers needs a threat, a pass-catching threat at the tight end position, and from what you've seen from Fletcher today, it's just a glimpse that, you know, maybe he could be that guy. Mike Higgins has also been coming around. The staff is very high on Logan Blake, but, you know, he's still in his first year, needs some time to develop, but they're pretty confident in that tight end group for the future. Now, is it confident enough to not have to go out and try to get another transfer portal guy? That remains to be seen, but I think the play of Fletcher has not really vaulted tight end up to a position of urgent need in the transfer portal, because I think he's going to be a guy that can do some things this year. And Rutgers has been starved at the position. Nothing against Johnny Langan, but, you know, they need that true threat of a tight end, a guy who's really going to really find some openings and really make defenses pay. So to see him get that work in today and make some nice plays, it's really promising for this season, because that's a position they really need to upgrade.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just looking at other aspects of this game and really on both sides of the field, Bobby, what other players sort of stood out to you as someone who, you know, you thought did really well and could contribute down the line?
You know, a guy who, he didn't have a huge stat line, but a guy who I think has a lot of promise is K.J. Duff at the wide receiver position. You know, just a big receiver, does a lot of things well, very athletic, still should be a high school senior. I think he's going to have a bright future. You didn't see a ton of guys that are really going to be major contributors in the spring game. It's kind of shifted gears to a game that's more for the younger players. You know, the veterans kind of just sat out and watched. You're not going to see those elder statesmen get much snaps, if any, in the game. But, you know, you saw a new guy like Malcolm Ray in there for a little bit, the transfer from Florida State, the D-tackle, kind of getting his feet wet. Then, you know, you have a guy like Dariel Jabome. You know, he's going to be a guy who gets some playing time at linebacker. I think he does some things well. But, you know, Gurrier, I think, kind of stole the spotlight with all those carries. But, you know, it's just a lot of younger guys getting some playing time. At one point, you're looking at the middle and you're saying, well, they're getting rushing yards, but you kind of look and there's third stringers in there. You know, I'm not going to say these guys really jumped out, because some of them are really, you're not going to see during the season. But, you know, Fama Touré is a guy who you should keep an eye on, developing physically really well. I think once he gets the nuances down of running routes and really, you know, knowing the position, and Dave Brock's a really good coach at wide receivers. I think he's going to get him right. He's a guy I would really keep an eye on, too. Got a lot of athleticism and just freakish physical ability. So he's definitely one to keep an eye on, Chris.
Yeah, and on the defensive side, in defense, it's a little tricky to judge just because, you know, you can't. You know, the hitting is limited for obvious reasons with the quarterback, so that kind of affects how you judge, like, edge rushers, for instance, and it's just a different kind of thing. But I thought there were some interesting players. I was really intrigued by, you know, someone else I wrote about in my article. Kaj Sanders was someone who, you know, you look at the stat line, up until that interception late, didn't really pop out at you, but he got a lot of work in that game, and he didn't look out of place at all for someone who is just a few months removed from playing in his senior year at Bergen Catholic. I thought he looked really impressive as well, Bobby.
Yeah, and he's been really good during the spring. He's been, you know, really adjusting quickly. Kaj is a different type of player. I mean, he goes out and plays with a lot of confidence. He hasn't really lost many games in his entire football career, expects to win. One of the reasons he came to Rutgers is because they started winning games. He said, you know, I've only lost a few games in my entire life playing football. You know, coming from Bergen Catholic, you know their success at the high school level. And Kaj is just a guy who plays at a high level, deep I think he's going to be a starter. Probably not this year because they returned three starting safeties, but, you know, he's going to play. And I think, you know, come next year when those seniors are gone, you're going to see Kyle Sanders taking over in that secondary safety position, Chris.
And on that note, and you touched on, you know, what I was going to get to, which was, you know, the way that the spring game has sort of evolved and changed over the years. Do you feel like this group, because we got to see so much of the younger players who, you know, in a lot of cases maybe won't start, but, you know, you get a glimpse of what the future could look like. Do you feel like this is potentially a deeper Rutgers team this year? And do you think that that is going to be a factor come the fall?
Yeah, I think it is. And you're starting to see positions really fill out with depth. And one of the concerns before was, you know, you had some starters that could play, but then they would get banged up. And they would have to play these guys throughout the season because there was no alternative. Now Greg is talking about rotating guys at multiple positions. And that's because of that depth. But, you know, when you get to the game 7, 8, whatever, and you have a good, you know, person as a linebacker, a defensive end, whatever position may be, this guy is not 100% anymore. He's getting banged up. He probably shouldn't be playing as many plays. Some guys shouldn't be playing at all, but they have to go out there because that's their best. So now with some of these guys filling in behind them, they can spell them at times and not necessarily need these starters to play every snap. By game 7, game 8, they're fresher. And even if they do get hurt, you have an alternative as opposed to just trying to, you know, make a guy basically limp out there and just, you know, gut it out. So I think you're going to see that show up, but more so later in the season.
All right. Now with that, spring football in the books for Rutgers. Now you're sort of in that in-between period before training camp starts up later this summer. Bobby, to sort of wrap things up here, just what are the things to watch as we head into this next stage of the offseason?
Well, there's still a few days left for the transfer portal opening. So there could be some guys going in. Traditionally, guys go in after spring football, so you may have some guys have some conversations with head coach Greg Schiano in the next day or two, and they might say, hey, you know, this isn't for me. I'm not going to play here. So I think you'll see some guys enter the transfer portal. Now, Rutgers can still recruit the transfer portal, or not the transfer portal. You can recruit transfer players. So I think you're still on the lookout for a backup defensive tackle. I think you're still on the lookout for maybe a right tackle. Now, those guys are not cheap, so I'm not saying they're necessarily going to get one. Rutgers is going to be careful and selective who they go after because, you know, NIL is going to prohibit them from just going after the best guy in the portal. But I think you'll see them go after some players, and I also think you're going to see some players on the move. And, you know, it doesn't end for the coaches because they're out during the spring evaluation period. Now they can go to, you know, high schools and see these recruits in person. So you're going to see a lot of traveling amongst the coaches, going to different places. You see them go through places in the Midwest, Florida, New Jersey. They cover all the schools in New Jersey, even the ones without prospects, just to kind of plant that Rutgers flag there. So you'll see a lot of that. You'll see some new names coming up. The official visit season is going to be crazy. First couple weeks of June, you're going to have, you know, a couple dozen visitors, maybe even more. So that's going to be a huge time for recruiting, for commitments. As spots fill up, you're going to see guys start committing more because they're going to be worried about not having a place. So I think things are going to really heat up. There's going to be a lot of movement recruiting-wise via transfer and traditional recruiting. I don't expect a lot of transfers coming in. I don't expect a ton going out, but there's going to be some. There always is. Guys are going to see the writing on the wall, especially after spring football, and realize, you know, I'm not really going to play here, so let me try my luck elsewhere. So be on the lookout for that.
All right. On that note, as a reminder, you can catch the latest Rutgers football and basketball news, both with the current teams and with recruiting as well, right here at scarletnation.com. You can interact with us over at the VIP message boards for those of you that are VIP subscribers. And keep it tuned with us because we've got plenty of news coming in the pipeline. Rutgers football, Rutgers basketball still in the transfer market to round out the roster ahead of a highly anticipated 2024-25 season. So plenty there. And, of course, the recruiting news never stops. So you want to stick with us here. But for Bobby Darren, this is Chris Akonis of Scarlet Nation of the 24/7 Sports Network saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.